Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, Randy. How are you doing over there? I'm so happy to be here another week.
Yahoo! Yeah.
Yeah.
What day is this?
Time's
what day is it?
Flying by, huh?
Yeah, is it Wednesday? I think it's Wednesday, yeah. Must be Wednesday because we're doing the show.
We had somebody not come in on Monday that was out of the area, and they said that it was like from a different time zone, and they've worked with us for a while, and they said they thought it was still Sunday. I'm like, okay, wait a minute here now. I don't know if that's like not a good excuse, or yeah. I'm thinking, how old are they? Because, you know, people are forgetting as they get older, but wow. So, yeah, today is Wednesday, and we have fun. I love when we're doing the show together because this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
And we bounce back and forth, and yeah.
Commenting on what you just said about forgetting, right? Somebody forgot whether, you know, what day it was, Monday, whatnot. And I was just on a meeting with somebody, and he couldn't remember, older guy, kind of like me, and he couldn't remember something. And he goes, you know, my memory's not getting worse. My forgetter's getting better. And I'm like, I like that. My
forgetter's getting better. You're not an old guy. Yeah, the forgetter is getting better. That's true. You know, it's funny how we get wiser, but then things start breaking down. I don't know. I was like to this person, I told one of the supervisors, could they have come up with a better excuse? But the person really is out of the area, you know, and I'm like, how could you forget when you're working on a Monday morning, how could you forget and think it was Sunday if you're out of the, you know, it's a different time zone, but it's, I don't know. But yeah, a lot of the older people are getting this dementia, Alzheimer's, you don't have to be old to get it, but I'm seeing a lot of it too. I guess because I'm dealing with it with my mother, and then I'm seeing, you know, it's kind of like they talk about when you buy a new car, like you start seeing that car everywhere, you know, kind of association with things. And I think that's probably what it is. But we do get some forgetting things, but this is going to be fun. And got a lot of good stuff
buddy.
Today.
Yeah. So it's back by popular demand, the Ask Natalie segment. Cause you know, we talk about this all the time that we're kind of in this DIY culture, you know, do it yourself, and, you know, Google and YouTube, and, you know, you can pretty much figure out how to do anything and save a lot of money, which in a lot of cases and things in life, true. I'm looking right now at trying to soundproof my home studio, and there's all kinds of businesses that will sell you all kinds of expensive soundproofing foam for your walls.
Wow.
You know? Depends on how much you want to spend. And then I was watching this YouTube video called Booth Junkie, and it's this guy, Dave Gallegos, who basically on YouTube, he previews different microphones, different preamps, different recording stuff. He's just kind of a recording booth junkie, and he's really interesting to watch, and I've learned a lot from him. But on one of his episodes, he says, hey, this is Mike, Booth Junkie today, and I'm on vacation. And so you can see where I'm at. I'm in a like a timeshare condo, very sparse furniture, and you know, and none of my stuff. I didn't bring it because I'm on vacation. And I just got an email for an audition. You know, he does voiceovers and voice acting, and he goes, I just got an email for an audition that is paying a lot of money, and I need to create a demo, an audition demo, voice demo. Right now. And So I'm going to show you how to do that. If you're on the road and you don't have any equipment except your phone, here's how you do it. And he basically started looking around, picking up pillows from the cushions from the couches, blankets from the bedroom.
He didn't have anything with him? He didn't bring anything at all? Okay.
No, and so he puts it in this closet, puts it all around in the closet, and then takes his iPhone and basically closes the closet door, you know, has a little, like, flashlight, and he has the script on his iPhone. And
did he really?
records a demo that sounded great. It sounded great. And I'm like, unbelievable, you know? I mean, I don't know why I shared that, but it was an important. I know there was a tie.
No, I think
I
love it.
Oh.
No, I love it. It's just, when you're talking about do it yourself, you're looking at, there's so many options nowadays, and you say, hey, I can just do this myself, right? But
but in real estate, let me bring it home here.
Well, there's
in
a learning
estate,
curve with
obviously,
everything, right? That's the thing. There's a learning curve. That's the difference, I think. Even with that, he's sharing his information, and then you go, oh, wow, okay, I can do this. But,
Yeah, man. Yeah. And in terms of real estate, man, you need someone, an experienced real estate agent. I mean, we've already talked about, of course, the real estate, the menu stuff with Realty Universal, and how, you know, obviously you will help people wherever they need it. There are obviously some things people can do themselves that aren't really, you know, that difficult. But there are pitfalls and there are dangers that are out there, man, that people need to know about, and they only can know about them by talking to somebody, you know, like you, a seasoned, experienced real estate agent. So that's why the Ask Natalie section is not everything is on Google or YouTube, right? Not everything.
No, I think one of the things, though, like, it's funny because you and I have talked about it before with you being in radio. Is it like now, oh, my God, I've known you since, like, 2002. Is it like 35-plus years you've been in or what? Huh?
42 now. 42.
Oh, my gosh, Randy. And I'm like 33 and a half on the real estate side. So it's one thing we've noticed, like, with ourselves is, like, you'll sit there and you've been in it for so long and it's the same stuff over and over and over, of course, with technology and we're growing and you put systems in because the way you and I are, we'd get bored if we just did the same. You know, you have to kind of beef it. I mean, make it, change it around, make it better and try. But you get to where you're like, oh, come on, like, this stuff is so easy. I feel funny in it. But we think it is because we've been in it so long, right? And it isn't for somebody else. So that's the part that I think it really does. You know, we're able to fix something quicker and because we've been there before. So that's what I like about it. And otherwise, because some of the questions, I mean, I love it and I love answering questions, but I go, okay, like, I feel like I'm not really giving the information, but we are, you know, we really are. We are giving information and good information. So because we've been there, we've done it. So. And
so you feel like when you're sharing stuff that you know and have talked about like forever, like it's sort of to you it's basic, but to somebody
I feel like
else
a broken
it's
record.
Not, you know?
I feel like a broken record, you know, except when you see the results and when people really need you. Like, I'm kind of better when I get called into problems or if they really need negotiating, you know. If it's just standard stuff, it's like, hey, you know, I feel like – but no, I hear what you're saying, and it's always worth it. It's just like any industry. I guess you get a little bit not jaded, but you say, okay. But there really is
we always tell
everybody, you always want to check with your accountant, check with your attorney. Because it's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of, when you're buying and selling, there's a lot of you're making a big investment, but, you know, it's really important to get in the game instead of staying out of the game, like some people do because of fear, so don't let that happen. So today's, I'm excited, we're going to cover a bunch of stuff, huh, besides real estate.
Yeah, sometimes we flip stuff around, obviously, you know, for a while we talk real estate, but we add in all kinds of fun stuff and meaningful stuff and hopefully help you and your journey to a better life. And for us, we're not in any way, you know, hiding the fact that for us, that's found in God, you know, a spirituality that's important, and you know, and Jesus and all of that. And
we walk our talk.
We're going to air.
We walk our talk. We talk our walk. We walk our talk. Go ahead.
I'm just spacing out here. Yeah, and so coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to air a bit of an interview I did with with a guy named Doctor. He's a psychotherapist in L.A. Dr. Bill Gaultier, and he is he's been a pastor. He's been a psychotherapist, and guess what? This pastor slash psychotherapist, who was the pastor of a huge church, and very successful psychotherapist, best-selling books. He basically came to pretty much a nervous breakdown because he was type A, is type A, and really found himself being driven to do all this good stuff to feel better about himself, you know, not really for the motives that, you know, he was saying he was doing it for other people. It was so he would feel better and dad would be proud and all that family stuff. And he basically had a breakdown and took a break from it all. He just stopped. And he took off.
Was he
like
older
a
when he took
years.
Him had a breakdown? Was he older, do you think, when he had a breakdown? Or
no, he wasn't that old. Like right now, I believe he's 50, 55 maybe.
Wow.
It was now about 20 years ago. So in his late 30s probably, because he was very successful early. Written some books that people really responded to, and then just became this kind of highfalutin psychotherapist guy in Southern California. He still is, but he has a website called soulshepherding.org, and his idea is hang on just a second because I'm going to sneeze, and so I'm going to. All right. I think I muted myself in time. You didn't hear it, did you? Good.
You're fine.
I'm okay. Anyway, so Dr. Bill Gaultier, basically, long, long story short, has written a book, and he does a bunch of teaching and coaching and week-long retreats for people to learn how to relax and just literally, you know, be with God and spiritual stuff. And I got a chance to catch up with him last week because we're going to be doing some radio stuff together, and he's amazing. And so I'm going to air a little bit of that. So this is going to be a pre-recorded clip of Dr. Bill and I talking about relaxing, and we recorded this last week. And then on the other side of it, you're going to want to definitely stay tuned because we're going to then do the questions, the Ask Natalie questions. And I'm looking at them right now. And by the way, you can absolutely call in, right? 347. Sometimes I forget we're live. 347-945-5428. That's 347-945-5428. If you have a question that you'd like to ask Natalie, during this about 20-minute clip interview with Dr. Bill Gaultier, you can call us, and we will talk to you. And get your question. Otherwise, you can, of course, email it, radio@realtyuniversal.com, radio@realtyuniversal.com. So
right,
is that about
of people,
all the
housekeeping
for now?
You can send it at any time, though, because we have so many people, like our agents and brokers and the membership, are using listening to these later at different times. And then we have a lot of people we'll get in contact with, or they get in contact with us, and they listen at different times. So you can always go to radio@realtyuniversal.com or go to our website, realtyuniversal.com, and ask questions. And if you have a thought, something you want to contribute, please, we'd love it. We love the connection and the interaction. So, that's exciting. I'm excited about hearing about the interview because I haven't heard the interview, and relaxation and meditating and praying is such a big part of my life. I mean, because I've always been type A. I've always been type A too, and handling too many things and juggling. And I find, especially as you get older, you know, it's we don't have the same energy, but we do. We do and we don't, you know, because things start to, I guess, wear out a little. But I find that the praying and meditating and deep breathing and taking that time for you is so important. Sometimes somebody may be so busy that they only have 5 minutes in an elevator or 2 minutes in an elevator, and it's just easy to think about it and stop and take deep breaths. So I'm interested in and then I take my time in the morning usually, and most of the time, unless I'm out of town or something's preventing it. If it's an early meeting, then I just move things around a little bit. But I try to block out the morning time to have that me time and meditate and pray. And some people do yoga and stretching and exercise. The workout, too, is so important. So I'm excited to see what hear what he says. Yeah.
It is huge, man. What a difference when we start out our day, you know, intentionally connecting with some would say higher power, others would say God, but you know, connecting with our source, I guess. I know Wayne Dyer used to call it God our source. You're connecting with your source, you know, and I love that. Okay. Well, let's, without any further ado, let us dive into this interview. I caught up with Dr. Bill Gaultier last week, and again, I asked him about, when we use the term relaxed, he shared a story once about how his mentor, Dallas Willard, who was a religion and philosophy professor at USC for many years, and he wrote a lot of great books, amazing books, and he asked Bill one time, he said, "Hey, Bill, when I mention the word Jesus, what's a word? What's one word to describe Jesus? Like one word." And of course, all these words came to his mind, and he thought, "Well, I guess probably Lord, right?" And Dr. Willard said, "Relaxed. Jesus was relaxed." And you're like, "What? I didn't think about that." And so that's kind of where we pick up his response to that question.
Yeah, it's not a word we would think of for Jesus, and I wouldn't have thought much about it, but it hadn't come from Dallas Willard, the author of The Defiant Conspiracy, and my personal mentor. But yeah, because he identified that as the key word for Jesus, that Jesus is relaxed, it really caught my attention and inspired me, because I thought about all the ways I was not relaxed. And I thought about more carefully about Jesus, and he's the Lord, he's the Master, he's sovereign, he's love, he's holy, he's compassionate, he's a teacher, and all these great words for Jesus that are true and important, and yet with all the responsibility he had as a human being, all the pressure on him, fully God but also fully man, and he's relaxed. And so you start going through the scenes in the scripture, and you see him early on in his ministry. He's under attack from the religious leaders. They're jealous of him, and they're criticizing him, and they don't like him healing people on the Sabbath, and they don't like the way the people are flocking to Jesus because of the stories he tells and ways that he loves them and brings joy to them. And so they're criticizing him, they're persecuting him. And Jesus stays easy. He stays peaceful. He stays calm and loving to his enemies. And we see it time and again. Even when his family is upset at him and they think he's gone bonkers with all these people following after him and houses just overflowing with people wanting to listen to him teach. And now apparently his mom and his brothers and sisters are sort of like, "Hey, Jesus, come back home. We need you back in the carpenter shop. And you know, who are all these people? We're your family. We should be your number one. Come back and help us." And he sets boundaries with them in a respectful but calm way. He loves them. And just time after time, different situations. There's a big storm at sea. And they're out in a little fishing boat. Jesus and his disciples. And he's taking a nap. And it's just so many different situations. You see, Jesus truly is the Prince of Peace.
Yeah, again, in the book, Your Best Life and Jesus' Easy Yoke, there's so much in that title that comes, of course, from the scripture in Matthew, "My yoke is easy, you know, my burden is light." And talk about what... Before we get into sort of how you disseminate, you know, the message through the various, we want to talk about the Institute and the coaching, and we want to talk about a lot of things, but kind of give an overview today anyway. But talk a little bit about your journey, about why you felt led to really go down this path of teaching the idea of soul shepherding and the easy yoke of Jesus.
Well, I'm a psychologist, and so I've been working in private practice therapy, helping all kinds of Christians, and then in recent years focusing on pastors and leaders I'm helping people with all sorts of challenges in life, especially stress overload and anxiety and conflict and things of this nature. And I just wanted to find a way to talk with people about the power of intimacy with Jesus and discipleship to Him as our Master, and that this life refreshes and renews and relaxes us. And that's what Jesus shows us in His intimacy with Abba and in the way that He does His life and His work. And so, the teaching in Matthew 11 just became a way to unpack this idea that by living as an apprentice of Jesus, that is our ultimate source of peace and life, as opposed to the typical way we go about it. You know, all of us have stress and conflict, things that we worry about, and as Christians, the normal way that we seek to get help with that is we call out to God for relief, or we claim Bible promises, or we find something that says four steps to peace, and then we try to do those things, and we got to get it all backwards. And if we instead would say, hey, Jesus is the Master, he's the source of love and wisdom, and I'm going to hitch my wagon to Him, and I'm going to follow Him and learn His way of life, and what starts to happen is His peace and His ease just begins to drip onto us and flow into us until we're saturated, and we find there's a whole other way of doing my life and my relationships and my work, and it's in this easy yoke, this attachment to the Lord Jesus.
Hmm. Yeah, his yoke is easy, His burden is light. I love, you know, the message, Unforced Rhythms of Grace, right? I'll show you how to take a real rest. You know, I remember hearing Chuck Swindoll once on a radio show. I was just driving somewhere and I heard him and he said, you know, what's the most important thing Jesus really wants us to, you know, to learn, you know, about His lifestyle and living for Him? And, you know, again, same thing. You could think about all these things, and it was to learn how to live a lifestyle of rest.
Mm.
And, I mean, that's what you're saying, and again, the book is something that came out of, I know, your story, right? You were a very successful, psychotherapist and counselor and pastor and just driven as well, though, and so you kind of got to a place where you felt the stress, and I love that you... This book and this ministry was really a kind of a product of you just saying, time out. This is not what God has for us. And talk a little bit about that season and then how that led you into this.
Yeah, I'm the burned out pastor and counselor. And I was kind of keynote speakers, speaking to a couple thousand people at a time, and having panic attacks. And I was anxious. I was way overstressed, and I was trying too hard to do a great job at what I was doing. And the stress of caring for hurting people and internalizing all that, being a husband, a father with young children, and working hard to provide for my family, hurrying here and hurrying there, and serving God in the church. It was all good stuff, but it was just too much. I didn't have good boundaries, and I just had way wrong expectations on myself, and I was really relying on my own abilities and gifts and hadn't yet learned this easy yoke that Jesus offers. I knew the passage and I taught on it, but I hadn't figured out, okay, I'm that young ox that needs to get in the yoke with the older, wiser, loving ox. And get in that yoke, get hitched together, get connected, and walk with Jesus and watch how He does it.
Mm.
And begin to absorb His attitude, His demeanor, and the peace and the love and the joy that flows from Him. And so, I knew some of those concepts, but I didn't actually know how to do it in my life. And so learning how to live into that, learning the disciplines of the spiritual life, being mentored, caring for my soul, and developing new habits of grace and peace and love, So that's what really turned the corner for me. And so I came into a great spiritual renewal, and it was like falling in love with Jesus all over again.
Mm.
And the whole Christian life and discipleship was brand new to me, and I was going way deeper in the Lord. And so it was out of that that I then wrote this book and just told the story of what God did in my life.
Mm. Yeah. It's so cool. One of the, again, eye-openers for me, and it's so simple and yet so effective because it incorporates the physiological, you know, nature of us as well as the Bible, and is the breath prayers that you talk about in the book, where literally, you know, when you're stressing out, you breathe in as you pray a Bible phrase, or you're incorporating, again, our physiology, because I think whenever anybody is kind of stressed, the first thing, you know, others would say is, okay, calm down, relax, take a deep breath, right? And I mean, so I think even Christians who, hear this and go, that's a little odd, you know, but it's incorporating, again, our physiology, our bodies, and you're getting the body involved with the mind and the Word of God to relax you. And, you know, and I love it. Again, you breathe in, the first half of a Bible phrase, you breathe out the other half as you pray, and then you wait. And I've used them over and over and over and over again, since learning those. And I mean, I have them on 3x5 cards in my car, you know, although I've memorized them now, but, you know, Jesus' name, not my strain, you know, and those kind of things. It's just chock full of, the book is chock full of not only, of course, teaching and deep teaching, but, you know, from the Word and from your experience, but then practical ways to allow, if you get out of that easy yoke, to allow yourself to get back in. And it's just powerful.
Yeah, we teach a number of disciplines for discipleship to Jesus and soul care. I think the breath prayers in the Bible that are in our book are the most popular of all because they're just real graspable, readily able to understand these and apply them into our life. And it's a practice that you can do as you go about your life. So often we're in church or reading a book or a seminar or something, and we're being encouraged to try some exercise, some practice, but we tend to not actually do it. And so I landed on these breath prayers from the Bible because it's a way when I'm ministering to people, whether individually in coaching or in a group or in a retreat context, we can do something simple right now together that is powerfully transformational. And a big part of it is what you hit on, Randy, and it has to do with the physiology and psychology of breathing. Because the fact is that most of us are in such a hurry and stressed out that we're breathing shallow and we're breathing rapidly, and that just reinforces the stress and the anxiety. And if we slow down and breathe in, breathe out, and as we go about our life, with a rhythm of slower, deeper breathing, even just catching ourselves now and again and taking a breath with the Holy Spirit, so to speak, is powerful to push reset.
Yeah.
And so I've trained myself and developed a new habit, which is really where you want to be in your life with Jesus, is you want to develop new habits. So that sometimes as I'm driving or I'm waiting in line or I'm listening to somebody over coffee or while I'm preaching and giving a sermon or working on my computer, I'll take a pause and I'll just breathe in. Thank you, Lord. And I catch myself doing this like, oh yeah, Jesus is here. I want to be praying. In other words, I had the habit to pray these words of Jesus when he says, thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. And so I shortened that into just three words. Thank you, Lord. And I prayed that so many times with an intentional breath and a smile that sometimes I just prayed and I didn't even intend to. And somebody might say, oh, well, that's just kind of rote. That's just mechanical. What's the point of that? Well, the point is it wakes me up because I catch myself doing it. And it's like, oh, yeah, I want to be prayerful. And then I can put my heart into it. And then I can meditate on the scripture. And I'm like, yeah, Bill, the Lord Jesus is here in spirit. Smile, be grateful. You don't have to do this work in your own strength. You can do it with Jesus in his strength.
Mm. Yeah, in his strength, in his easy yoke, and be able to just, I just be honest, I mean, I've ebbed and flowed, of course, like probably most of us, and, you know, in the idea of staying in that easy yoke, we talked about the Enneagram number 7, which, you know, I'm that type, and that's like go, 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 and, you know, always looking for the new thing, the exciting thing, you know, I find myself needing to be able to pull myself back in. And these breath prayers, like you said, they do that for me. They allow me to change my state, if you will. You know, I mean, there's all these motivational speakers, Tony Robbins and some of these guys that talk about changing your state. You know, if you're in a weird, you know, place or angry or stressed, you know, smile, do something wacky, do something kooky. You know, change your state, and immediately you're different. Well, yeah, but then what? You know, but you said, obviously with the Word of God, and then, you know, involving the Word of God and prayer into changing your state, all of a sudden, it's real, and it's not just you out there hoping to feel better by something wacky you did that some motivational speaker told you to do, but this is the Word of God, and it's a way to get you to change your state for sure, but in a more spiritual context. And man, it's helped me more and more. And you know, the I'm looking right now at my desk, and I still have notes that I took from when I was attending one of the institutes, one of the week-long gatherings that you guys have, and we'll talk about those in a minute. But I literally have a couple of notes written on hotel stationery that I wanted to put right down before I, you know, before I forgot them. And I mean, again, just taking snippets of scripture, right? And Psalm 63:3, your love, O Lord, is better than fill in the blank, right? If you're struggling with temptation, there's a newsflash: the Word of God works, right?
Mm.
Yeah, that's Psalm 63, verse 3, and I've used that with all kinds of people. Right now I'm thinking about a woman who is struggling with alcohol dependence and active church leader, and she was finding her joy in terms of what she was thinking about during the day that would bring her comfort. She was thinking about wine. She was thinking about alcohol. Mm-hmm. And that was her go-to to feel better, to relax, to be more comfortable in a social gathering. And so it's just like something she would look forward to, going to the vineyards, even just reading about vineyards, collecting vintage wines. And there's nothing wrong with this, of course, except that she was drinking too much. And she got a DUI, and that was a big problem for her family and her ministry. And she, her heart was, she came to realize that her heart was set more on wine than on Jesus.
Mm.
I mean, not in terms of her priorities, as she would list them out, what's most important to her. Certainly, God is number one, and serving the Lord, and so forth. But operationally speaking, in terms of how she was actually living her life, she was more excited about that next glass of wine than she was about taking a sip of the Spirit of Jesus.
Mm.
And so I was helping her with this, you know, listening and just in the process of the counseling. And at the end of the session, I like to give people some coaching exercises. So I had her do this session from my Easy Yoke book on you're referring to with this prayer. Your love, O Lord, is better than life. And I had her pray, your love, O Lord, is better than wine.
Mm.
And I had her just repeat that phrase, you know, over and over in her meditations, and then putting her body into it with the breathing the words of scripture in and out, which, yeah, you were mentioning how some people get sort of freaked out, like, oh, is this some New Age practice? You know, this is weird. You know, where does the Bible teach breath prayers? And it's sad that to look at it that way, because, I mean, we kind of need to breathe.
Yes.
It's a basic thing. And all we're doing is saying, okay, let's take our breathing and let's turn it into a prayer. Mm. It's like lifting our hands in church to worship God. We're just using our body with some intentionality so that we would engage our thinking and our feeling with God's presence. And so I taught her how to do this. I taught her how to do the breath prayer rhythms and as a way of meditating on a scripture passage and as a way of capturing her heart to say, hey, look, don't go over there to be fantasizing about wine. That's destroying your life, turning you into an alcoholic. Put your heart over here on Jesus, the presence of Christ, the Word of God. This is what's the best thing in life.
Yeah, the presence of Christ, intimacy with Christ. And again, we're talking with Dr. Bill Gaultier. SoulShepherding.org is the website, and the ministry and the book, Gain Your Best Life, and Jesus Easy Yoke. And recommend you getting to that website as soon as you can. Don't stretch yourself out. But when you can, get there, and you're going to just find all kinds of tools for you if you're stressed out. And this, of course, helps everyone, all of us who struggle, and it helps as well pastors. And something that's kind of become a fruit, if you will, of the ministry overall, Bill, is the institutes, the Soul Shepherding Institutes that you guys do, and I was so excited and privileged to be a part of one recently in Orange County, where for a week, just sitting and praying and meditating and learning how to do this, do these disciplines that, to be honest, I mean, left to ourselves, I think, even busy pastors, well-meaning pastors, people who love other people, can get stressed out and not take care of themselves, and hence the name, Soul Shepherding. And I was able to spend time with you guys and see that happen. And so, again, the Soul Shepherding concept is, you know, just for folks and then also for pastors and leaders of all stripes and kinds. And why don't you talk a little bit about the Institute and what you guys provide for people if someone's listening and they're, you know, they're a spiritual leader, they're a pastor, associate pastor, and they're exactly, this is just hitting them between the eyes, they're stressed, and they need help. So talk to them for a minute about the Institute, what's involved there.
Yeah, we take men and women in ministry, servants who are earnestly following Christ, and we take them away for 5 days in a retreat setting for learning and training and discipleship to Jesus with spiritual disciplines and time we call TLC time for to love Christ. You have 5 hours unhooked, unplugged, no responsibilities, quiet, and you get time with your Lord and best friend Jesus, and we prepare you on how to make use of that time so it's really fruitful for your soul. You need to take a nap or journal or do some Bible reading or take a prayer walk, reflect on God's place in your heart and your ministry, and so it's a time of deep enrichment and abiding in Christ and learning to live in the overflow, in the sweet spot of God's presence and blessing and grace upon your life. And so we do this in community groups of about 20 people, and it's a mix of men and women. My wife, Christy, who's also a doctor of psychology and spiritual director, we co-lead this. And that helps us cover the room because we have opposite personalities on Myers-Briggs, and I'm type A and she's type B, and so pretty much everybody's going to relate to me or to her. And so we share from our life, and we draw other people out to share, because we also have some groups that are more oriented around process and praying for one another, as well as learning groups. So it's a one-week-long adventure in apprenticeship to Jesus in the Father's world, and everybody that goes through it just finds himself so enriched and inspired and revitalized for their life and their work and their ministry.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. It was such a powerful week, and little did I know, you know, and again, just a personal note, but that, you know, that week was, prepping me for, some rough waters ahead in ministry. And I was, you know, I was able to look back at what I learned there and the ability to, to slip back into Jesus' easy yoke and to let him lead. What I found is, and by the way, all of this information, again, at soulshepherding.org. You can see everything we talked about there. You can contact Dr. Bill and or Christy and everything we talked about is there. But I thought of thinking about why we get so stressed. And I mean, it literally is because often whatever's going on, it seems like, and this is just my kind of journaling and figuring this out for myself, but it's about me. If I'm stressed, often I'm worried about what other people are thinking about me. Whether it's, so it's image management kind of stuff, or I'm angry because, a friend or a person or somebody, maybe I'm not feeling respected, or whatever the thing is, it's about me. And it seems like the Jesus, the easy yoke teaching is about him. It's about stepping back and letting him lead and doing that in a way that you're not, you're not withdrawing from the world by any means. I mean, I know you talked about it in the book, and in that week-long thing where Jesus was in the middle of life and loving people and pouring his life out physically and spiritually with people, but he was also abiding with the Father. He was able to do both consistently, which obviously helped him, accomplish his mission. And the teaching here, the nugget is, that's available for us if we work on these spiritual disciplines, right?
Yeah, rhythms of grace, we call them. And the intimacy with God that Jesus has is available to us. Of course, there's only one mediator between God and humankind, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Savior, and there's no other. And yet, he's modeling for us a quality of intimacy with God and a life of love. And not just modeling it for us, he wants to impart it to us. He wants to help us internalize his spirit. And of course, it's a gift of grace, but it's not something passive. It's not something that we just sit back on our hands and it comes to us because we have this right doctrine and belief about God and Jesus and the Bible and so forth, or we said a sinner's prayer, or we're sitting in church or at a worship concert and there's just, amazing, inspiring, spirit-filled worship or an anointed preacher, and it's not like God just falls over us and we're transformed. The process of becoming like Jesus and growing in grace is something that we participate in. We need to make some decisions. We need to trust the Lord. We need to submit our heart. We need to wait upon God. We need to do some training. Paul advises young Timothy, train yourself to be godly. 1 Timothy 4:7-8. So it's a process of discipleship, of doing some disciplines, of learning, of being in community in the body of Christ, where we're sharing our life and we're sharing our hurts and we're confessing our sins and we're sharing our longings and the stressors in our lives, and we're receiving empathy and prayer, and we're giving empathy and prayer. And so it says we're doing life together with other trusted followers of Jesus, and we're practicing some disciplines as part of that. That's how we grow in this life of grace.
So good. Again, soulshepherding.org, the website, and whether, again, you want to connect with Dr. Bill Gaultier and or Christy or the team there, you can do that. And it's been life changing for me, Bill, and I'm so glad. And I know it was no mistake that day at that radio station, I happened to Google In Christ and find your blog, and it was just so timely. Little did I know, what's in the future. We have some rough stormy seas ahead in ministry, and just life, and it's really, really helped me. And we haven't even talked about, you know, how reading scripture has helped with, you know, with my compulsive overeating, which it's been super helpful. And so again, the word works, but it's just, we've got to apply it, right? That's the deal. And like you said, be a part of a group. I love the way you say that. And you repeat it in the book that it's important that we give empathy and we receive empathy from fellow Christians. And sadly, right? I mean, sadly, it's often in the church about image management, right? And not vulnerability and submitting one to another and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, in every chapter of Easy Yoke, we have soulful questions, which are designed to share with a prayer partner or a small group or people that you're doing life with. And that's to take the, we have different Bible studies on Jesus and how he shows us this Easy Yoke life, this rhythms of grace and peace. And so we want to then apply that into our life, which we do through practicing some disciplines, including the breath prayers from the Bible that we were talking about. And then we have people share it with each other, or just journal and pray about it yourself, even. If you're not reading a book with somebody and or don't feel like you have that opportunity, even journaling out our prayers and confessing our hurts and our stress and our shortcomings that way is powerfully healing.
Dr. Bill Gaultier and soulshepherding.org is the website, soulshepherding.org. The book is Your Best Life and Jesus' Easy Yoke. And his whole idea is we can be busy, we can be type A, we can be doing a lot of stuff, but there's a way to go about it. And it's a hard kind of balance to find, but we can be relaxed.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I thought it was really good.
It's
really, really good. And, you know, I love Jesus with all my heart and my full faith in God and Jesus as the Savior. It changes your life when you get into scriptures and you do that and you work on it. But for the people that do not believe, you know, I'm always respectful for many people that maybe have different religions. I always say Jesus and God's not a religion because, you know, we get into the word and it just changes you and connects you so well that, and then you have miracles and all these things happen when you're walking in the word and living this life, but we know it. And for the people that don't know it and haven't felt it, I don't want to put somebody off, you know, in the sense of, does that make sense in saying, because God, people have different religions and they come to God a different way. I do feel sad when somebody's an atheist, and I've seen many times where people are atheists and then before you know it, they really learn the scriptures and they become ministers. I mean, we've heard that story over and over again. So this is awesome, but I just want to say, because it's so nice to get into it, and it's like, I think God, to me, we have like, when we pray, because prayer is so powerful, it's almost like God's given us a connection like a phone to God. You know, you pray, and it's like, we're talking to God. We can talk to God at any time, and he does everything. It's just, I love it. And what he was talking about with relaxing, I made it some notes on, we deep breathe, pray, meditating, stretching. Yeah. Some people do yoga. Writing it down. Journaling really helps because the shortest pencil is better than the longest memory. And writing really helps. It gets your feelings out, and it helps you to look at it later or another in the future and go, wow. And sometimes when you journal constantly, you can look later and go, wow, I was really stuck on that one issue, right? You know, so I think this is all beautiful. We're, as humans, we're giving this ability to relax. And one thing he said that was really, Dr. Bill Gaultier said that really hit home with all of us is breathing. You know, we're so rushed that we're not taking the deep breaths. And calming down. And Jesus is such a great mentor. I mean, when I say mentor, I mean Jesus is the man. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, for we have a lot of listeners from all different walks of life, all different backgrounds. You know, and I really want them to know this is out of love. We're not trying to say this is one way or the highway, even though you and I fully believe in Jesus. You know, does that make sense? I just want to, because there's a lot of great nuggets.
Totally.
And relaxing is really important. And wine, you know, I was raised with wine. I'm French, and, you know, my mother's not going to, you have a little bit of wine. But like in the Bible, it says in moderation. Don't be a drunkard in moderation, right? So there's so much to learn about life. But we're almost out of time, and I know we have people that wanted to hear the answers to some of the questions they sent in. If we don't get to your question today, but if we don't get to it today, please we will email back the ones that we've received, and also please email us and send any you want, because I don't want people not to be able to get the answers, right? So.
Yeah, so we've got three really good questions, and it looks like we've got about, 10 minutes. So let's see what we can do, because like you said,
okay.
We're always skimming
the
top of the waves
here.
Thing
here. No, we're not going to. I'm not going to run through that fast, but okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Give them to me. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So here, number one is, hey, Natalie, is now still a good time to buy or sell?
Absolutely, any time is still a good time to get in the game and still buy or sell. Everyone always says, of course, you want to buy low and you want to sell high. That's the ideal, whether you're in real estate, stocks, whatever you're doing, right? Buy low, sell high. But there are, you know, my recommendation sometimes, depending if you're buying as an investment or a homeowner, you want to check with your accountant and attorney. You want to see where it makes more sense by the time you get the write-offs. We still in the United States have our mortgage interest write-offs. So typically if you're buying it for yourself, you're still going to be able to make more money if you get the write-off. And then it's a long-term thing, a long-term investment to real estate historically has, you know, goes up. Even in the down times and up times, it over the many, many years, it's still going up. So absolutely, I say get in the game. Don't sit on the sidelines. If you're looking at investing, you could see what areas are still a better deal to buy than not buy. But so the answer is yes.
Well done. You got that one done in it's like about 2 minutes.
I know, I'm rolling here. Type A, we only have a couple minutes. No, I'm just kidding.
There you go.
Not kidding about being type A, but being kidding about talking too fast.
Here's another one interesting question. Can I use my retirement account to buy a home?
Huh. Great. Now, these answers are for the U.S., okay? I'm not giving – I don't know. I can't tell you if we're out of the country, and we do have listeners that are out of the country. But and then, of course, but if you're using U.S. accounts, retirement, yes. If you have an IRA and you want to buy a first-time – if you're a first-time home buyer, you automatically get a $10,000 exemption, basically. What that means is you can pull $10,000 out of your IRA without a penalty. You have to check with your advisors as far as how much notice you need to give, et cetera. But, so yes, there are ways to do that and not get a penalty. But there's a beautiful account called a Roth IRA, and you can even structure this with some of the others, but you need to talk to your, you know, the accountant advisor. The Roth IRA, you need to leave it in there. Roth IRA is after-tax money. It's not pre-tax like a regular general IRA. And you need to leave it in until you're 59 and a half. If you take it out, you can be charged penalties, and usually around 10% penalty. But there's a way to buy real estate through your Roth IRA and then put that profit back in there. So say you're going to do an investment, and you need a $5,000 deposit, but you're going to renovate it and then put all that money back in and avoid the taxes for a while. You can do that with a Roth IRA. Too much to get into on this call. But it's definitely worth looking into. And I wanted to mention, we're going to have Neil Bawa, B-A-W-A, on in the next couple weeks. He's also been on in the past. If you want to look through our old archives, you can just go up to the blogtalkradio.com/realityuniversal, which many of you know already, and put in Neil Bawa, B-A-W-A. For that, he's doing a lot of interesting multifamily units and different things with retirement accounts and investments, and they even actually help you with investments too. So it's something to look at. So that one, and we said you said there's a third. I just hate to rush through like this, but we're at the end. I want to honor at least a few of them. Hmm?
Yeah, this one may take the rest of the time because it's again one of those. And there's actually two questions, a second part to it. But here it goes. we'll see what we can do. I have had a few bad experiences with rental properties over the years. Do you think rentals are still a good investment, and can you give me any tips?
Yes, 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 definitely. Rentals are a good investment. And again, Neil Bawa, B-A-W-A. You can also Google him too. They're doing some
Bawa.
Really cool things for rental Bawa, rental properties. They'll even help you get the money to do it. You can go in on investments with them. It's just something I know he's very well respected, and I trust him. But yes, I've had some bad experience with rentals too over the years. I've had some people go in that you really do check out, and they were fine, and then before you know it, 8 months later, they were getting a divorce. And I had one couple that was, you know, as they were running through fighting, they were, I guess the wife was locking the door, bedroom doors, and the husband was kicking them in. And I mean, these people were fine when they first started, but you know, things change in life. So I could tell you story after story of things that are good and things that are bad that have happened. But we only have like a couple minutes here, but I still say it's good to get in, because if you're buying a property, and you know, it's best to get a 15-year mortgage, but many of us get 30-year mortgages. You can pay it, you know, extra principal every year to kind of pay that off. And even if you don't, if you're buying a rental, and by the time you look at the expenses and the you buy it at the right price, and if you can rent it out and have a profit in the long term, somebody else is paying for that property. So I still believe in it, even though I've had, you know, some experiences. We at our brokerages do not do property management because it's so, there's so much liability in it. We always refer out property management. But in, with this question, yes, I still say that it's good to get into rental properties. You know, there's a big picture here as far as how much you have to invest, how much you're getting into. Any property that you're going to buy, you need to vet. You need to make sure you are getting a good price. You need to find out what the pros and cons are with inspections. I mean, you don't want to buy something falling down that's going to cost you more than it should to fix it. So you want to be buyer beware and make sure you're getting a good deal, your rate of return's good. But I still believe in rentals. Everybody has different opinions on how much you want in your portfolio. Me personally, I do a lot with leveraging with the businesses and systems and the internet. So I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket, all into real estate.
Yeah.
But I still do believe in it. I believe in it. I totally believe in it. Some of the things you can do, say you're buying one property, say you're buying one and property and you're going to rent it out and it's going to be a tenant, a renter, definitely get the background check run, criminal and credit. Don't just, you know, people, although seem nice and whatever, get them checked out. Check the references.
Yeah.
Find out where they really lived before. And it's not a bad idea
to
even go to their house that they're in now or apartment, you know, and just say, hey, I'd like to come over where you are, you know, where you live and check things out. And I mean, it just, you can get a good feel. I definitely think that it is good. If you really are leery and you don't want to get into what you say are going to be headaches, you could do REITs. You can get into, it's REITs, look it up, and or contact us for more information, and you can get into where you're buying into where you're going to get a rate of return, but it's projects and it's managed where somebody else is going to have that. And Neil Bawa does some of that too. I wouldn't actually call it a REIT, but he does something similar. I think I'm a big believer there, Randy. You've known me for a long time, and you kind of get in and take action, right? When we sit on the sidelines, it's not always the best thing to do, but be careful. I mean, there's scams out there, and there's, you know, again, buyer beware.
Yeah.
You want your contingencies. So if you go in and you offer something and you find out that with the inspection that it's a disaster, there's so much more that it needs, you know, you can protect yourself. And again, you want to have some reserves too, because things do go wrong. Properties still need to be maintained, but I think overall, and you can take out different insurances, you know, the warranties, different insurances to cover appliances, roof, big ticket items. That's primary. I'm a big believer in insurances also. Some people may not, but I like to not worry if something goes wrong. I like to be able to have a backup. So
yeah.
We got three done, but if you want more information on it too, and I think there's still more in the queue, we want to we definitely want to answer, so we'll make sure we do that.
Yeah, I mean, I love to recycle this because it's always informational, man, and I know that people have questions, and often they're kind of afraid to reach out, maybe, like, right, to a local realtor. Maybe they don't know one, or you know, they're thinking it commits them to reach out and ask questions. And
right. It's just, yeah, it's just, No, but and we've got so much stuff out there now. It's like, but it's good. So this was a great show, and we're all made at the end already. So I'm going to tell everybody I wish them peace. We're at the end, Randy, aren't we? And I will talk to you soon.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged,